This is Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, the quality may be a little lower than our usual standards. We appreciate your patience as we practice social distancing. From all of us at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy the latest episode of Healthcare Strategies. Hello, and welcome to Healthcare Strategies. I am Kelsey Waddell, editor of Health Payer Intelligence. Today, we'll be having a conversation with Frank Michike, Vice President of Public Policy and External Relations at the National Committee for Quality Assurance, or NCQA. Frank joined NCQA in 2014 after his work with Campaign to Fix the Debt. Prior to that, he was a senior advisor of health reform at McKenna Long & Aldridge LLP. Frank has also served in the public sector as a legislative director in the Massachusetts House of Representatives and director of state-federal relations for Governor Mitt Romney. He received his master's degree in public policy from John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. Today, we are going to discuss how healthcare stakeholders can continue to monitor quality measures during a time of major disruption to the healthcare system, such as the coronavirus pandemic. Hello, Frank. Thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
So I want to go ahead and dive right in and talk about the challenges that the healthcare system can face when they're trying to continue measuring healthcare quality during a major healthcare crisis. So when the healthcare system might be completely overturned. What are some of the challenges that healthcare systems can face during that kind of a period?
Well, it's no longer hypothetical, if it ever was, because starting in March, we faced exactly that situation in terms of quality measurement related to COVID. As COVID started to take hold, we found that there were issues about whether or not folks could report for performance year 2019. Just a really quick review of how we do quality measurement for health plans. Plans that are being accredited by us or that are required to report HEDIS measures to us, and those can be two subsets, although they overlap quite a bit, but they report their performance via data vendors and auditors. And that process starts in early in the year following the performance year. So in the case of 2020, they had begun reporting their performance in January, February, March of 2020 for performance year 2019, and then COVID hit. So all of a sudden, we were faced with plans that were scrambling, not about quality measurement, but about response to the pandemic. We were also met with the challenge that in the case of hybrid measures, what we call hybrid measures, which means both clinical data and then also information from charts that go into the calculation of the measure rates. That involves plans going into doctor's offices, other facilities to hand pull charts to demonstrate their compliance with a given measure. And that all of a sudden became a very dangerous prospect in the early days of the pandemic. So we really were faced with a challenge we had never really planned for. And there was some concern that that would entirely derail how we went about measuring quality for performance year 2019. What we found was actually very heartening. First of all, we were fortunate that a number of plans had been most of the way through the reporting process prior to the pandemic. So though their efforts were relatively unaffected, although these plans were now faced with this unanticipated, unimaginable burden around the pandemic and treatment in 2020 for their customers and the patients who rely on their insurance. For those that weren't completed and who still had particularly hybrid measures that they had not finalized the data for, we did alter the rules a little bit, allowing them to choose either to use their previous year's performance year 2018 performance on that hybrid measure, or to use performance year 2019 as they would traditionally. And so that allowed for some flexibility. It certainly allowed for those who felt it was unsafe for them to continue reporting to give us some information, even though it wasn't entirely from performance year 2019. One of the things we pride ourselves on and that is essential to the measurement process is transparency. So when we made a move like this, we were certain to make sure everyone knew that we were allowing for these exceptions in this exceptional circumstance and how it would or wouldn't affect ratings and accreditation status, et cetera. So that was key to us.
Definitely. Thank you. I kind of wanted to jump into this idea of digital quality measures, gathering healthcare quality metrics during this time. As you mentioned, having to go into providers' offices isn't always an option and presents its own kinds of challenges. And in some recent publications, NCQA advocated for digital quality measures as one way to help the industry in future crises kind of pivot more easily. I was wondering if you could dive into what digital quality measures are and how they can assist payers and the healthcare system as a whole to assess quality performance during major disruptions in the future.
Sure. We see digital quality measures, which is now a term that, you know, previously hadn't been closely defined, but one that CMS has now embraced. And we see that that term and those measures as a really important part of the future of healthcare quality reporting. So these are measures that can be pulled directly from electronic sources of data. So that can include the electronic health record, which has always been the case. But in the more expanded view, it can include information from registries, it could be vaccine registries, it could be registries maintained by various specialty societies. It can also be information pulled from Health Information Exchange, HIEs, which is something that NCQA in particular is really working on. So given that DQMs are going to be coming from all these sources, we feel it's essential that that information be valid and that the methods as well as the systems that they use to process that information and then share it with us via their data collectors and their auditors, we think it's essential that that be all be validated. And so we've started with a project on data aggregator validation. And we're doing a pilot in New York with a couple of HIEs where we're certifying and validating that their processes for collecting data and the data that comes out the other side once they've collected it and reported it to us are accurate and repeatable and provide good data for the purposes of quality measurement as well as other purposes. This is a real breakthrough because if a plan or a provider has information that's stored in an HIE, and as you know, there are, I believe, over 100 HIEs around the country, but there are several that are really large and encompass a great deal of the healthcare quality data that's out there. If a provider or a plan can actually themselves pull that information from the HIE and use it directly for quality reporting purposes, it's going to eliminate a ton of the burden. And it's going to mean that we as quality measurement professionals and accreditors can have access to that data quicker. We can be more confident in its reliability and its validity, and it will allow practices in particular to not have to go through the more manual process of uploading that data. So we think that's a real potential breakthrough. The other exciting piece of digital quality measures is that they can be easily tailored depending on the circumstance or the patient or the population, whatever it is you're trying to adjust for or to hone in on when measuring quality. And because of their digital nature, because the specs can again be tweaked here and there using code rather than using an individual or something more complicated and more prone to human error. It really is going to allow us to hone in on, as I say, specific populations, specific patients, specific conditions, and understand what should be done for those populations and whether it is being done in the course of practice. And the third exciting part of that is that we can do that in a lot more real time. One of the great challenges for quality measurement has been that, as I described a little bit earlier, we are collecting data and analyzing that data and rating performance in some cases a year or a year and a half after the care itself was given. That's not ideal, but thus far, that's been the quickest and the most accurately and reliably that we can turn that information around. If we can get to the point where we are collecting data automatically, we're sort of vacuuming it up from these various sources of data and then turning it around again, quicker, more reliably, more accurately, to the point where a practice or a plan can within days get feedback on how they're performing and alter their performance in order to provide higher quality care. That's sort of the holy grail. And I wouldn't say at all that we're there yet, but I think the move to digital quality measures gets us a lot closer.
That would be the ideal. It sounds like a kind of a utopia. What would you say then are some of the big steps towards that? I mean, that seems like a great, you know, goal, obviously, for the healthcare system as a whole. And obviously, we're taking some steps into digitizing in the past few years. But what are the big things that need to happen in order to make that a reality?
Well, obviously, there's an infrastructure component to it. So that includes making sure that all of our systems are able to talk to each other, they're interoperable. And that's a huge challenge. And, you know, when I say all of our systems, that's probably not the right way to frame it, because anyone who's been around and looked at how healthcare data is swapped and transferred among various entities realizes that we're never going to get to 100% necessarily. But the more we can drive toward that goal of complete interoperability, where one person's data and records are compatible and exchangeable via a common system or a common code, that'll be a big part of it. And we're not there yet. And some of that's technology and some of that is just practice and standards. So that goes to another big step that needs to be taken and where we're not yet, which is, you know, there are maybe a couple dozen of large influencers, payers, plans, systems, who have enough leverage and enough share of the market to drive behavior in the market. And in this case, that behavior would be towards a standardized way of collecting and sharing data. So CMS is obviously, or to my mind, is the biggest example of that. And CMS has really publicly come down on the side of moving to digitization. Right before the pandemic, Seema Verma announced that CMS's goal was to have all quality measures reported digitally by 2030, which is a huge signal for a government entity to send. We'd like to believe we can get there a lot sooner, or that at least the vast majority of the market can get there sooner. But just having that out there tells people who are in the market, whether they're providers, plans, systems, tells them that's where we're going. It also sends a signal to the very necessary vendors and auditors and other folks on the technical side of things that that's what's going to be expected of their customers going forward. And so they will invest in the systems that will get them there. So that leverage plus that infrastructure is really, to me, what's going to make this happen. We all have, I think, the best of intentions in terms of wanting to be able to get there. But you do need a handful of these big catalysts who can ensure that we do get there, or can do everything possible to make sure that participants in the market know where we're trying to go and that they are committed to getting there.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I think that kind of covers it, but I was wondering if you had anything else that you wanted to add that we didn't cover there, or anything that you wanted to dive into a little bit deeper.
The one thing that's been big focus for NCQA recently that at least tangentially ties to digitalness is telehealth. We do believe that genie is out of the bottle, and telehealth is very much here to stay and will only continue to grow. The Task Force on Telehealth Policy released a report, and NCQA convened that task force. And we brought together couple dozen of the best thinkers and practitioners in telehealth from around the country, and came up with about 20 recommendations on what needed to happen in order to maximize the potential of telehealth and then also mitigate some of the potential downsides. One of which is that services provided via telehealth become just one more silo of healthcare data and care itself. We want to make sure it's woven into the system of care and coordinated, which for NCQA's purposes, that's the way you get to higher quality is communication, coordination, and thinking about the full patient experience. Anyone who wants to check it out can go to ncqa.org/telehealth. And you can download a copy of the report. You can learn more about who was involved and what specifically we're recommending.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times we talk a lot about the long way that we have to go before we get to a good place on digitization. But there's an exciting amount of movement towards using, you know, digital quality measures and other forms of digitization like telehealth to improve quality of care. So thank you so much for coming on today, Frank, and for your insights today.
Absolutely. Anytime. And thank you for having me.
And now I have a question for our listeners. What strategies have been critical to helping your organization continue to pursue high quality performance during times of major disruption? Share this episode on Twitter and let us know what you think by tagging us at @HPayerIntel. We look forward to hearing from you.
This has been an Xtelligent Healthcare Media production.